Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he'll hold a vote on the Build Back Better Act after the holidays, despite Joe Manchin's opposition to the bill. It wouldn't pass without Manchin's support, given that Republicans all say they'll vote against it, but Schumer says a vote would put every senator on the record. Manchin announced on Sunday morning that he won't back the plan. He told a West Virginia radio station yesterday that something specific happened during negotiations that pushed him over the edge.
They know the real reason. They're not going to tell us. You're not going to tell us. What do you mean? What's the real?
Well, the bottom line is there's basically, and it's staff. It's staff driven. I understand staff. It's not the president. It's the staff. And they drove some things and they put some things out that were absolutely inexcusable. They know what it is, and that's it.
Manchin didn't specify what turned him off, but has expressed concerns over the $2 trillion cost and some of the climate change provisions. He and Biden reportedly spoke by phone Sunday night and plan to speak again at some point in a press conference today. The president says there's still a chance of passing something, at least something like Build Back Better. You can join in at 800-642-1234. The Build Back Better plan you think be good for the United States, or are there certain parts of it you like, or should it be completely scrapped? Do you see Manchin as a hero or villain in this story, or a little of both? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephen Smith is a distinguished professor of social sciences and professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, it looks pretty bad for the Build Back Better Act right now. Do you think it's completely done? Do you see a chance of reviving it or something like it early next year?
I do not think it's completely done. I think there's a good chance that they'll be able to revive it. The president indicated this afternoon that he's not giving up. And even Joe Manchin has indicated some willingness to talk here over the last 24 hours. So I think they'll use the next couple of weeks to see if they can come up with a new plan. You may remember that a month or so ago, the White House reported a new framework. The House had already passed their version, and they knew the House version would not pass the Senate. So the White House, after discussing the plan with not only Manchin, but Kyrsten Sinema and other senators who had issues with the House plan, they came up with a new framework. They thought that would be the pathway to getting an agreement in the Senate, at least among the Democrats. And that seems to have failed. It's obviously problematic at the moment. But we've got now a couple of weeks in which I think we're going to be hearing little, but there will be plenty of private discussions going on between the White House and Manchin.
Before we get into the substance of the bill, I want to give another listen to Senator Manchin saying he wouldn't be pushed around during negotiations.
I'm not blaming anybody. I knew where they were, and I knew what they could and could not do. They just never realized it because they figure, surely to God we can move one person. Surely we can badger and beat one person up. Surely we can get enough protesters to make that person uncomfortable enough. They'll just say, okay, I'll vote for anything. Just quit. Well, guess what? I'm from West Virginia. I'm not from where they're from, and they can just beat the living crap out of people and think they'll be submissive.
Can you talk a little bit about the politics, the maneuvering, the pummeling that Joe Manchin describes there?
Well, you know, there's a little bit of a background that's really essential to understanding Senator Manchin. He's been running for office now for a couple of decades in West Virginia, and he's always fashioned himself as a different kind of Democrat. Really, not much of a Democrat at all. In his 2010 campaign, I think it was, he even put on an ad in which he actually used a gun to shoot a copy of the cap and trade program the Democrats were advocating at the time. And West Virginians, or at least Manchin, did not like the cap and trade program because it would encourage business, especially coal-fired plants, to find other forms of energy. So he's always been positioning himself as an outsider. He's not merely a moderate or a somewhat conservative Democrat. He's also an outsider. And that's a big part of his public reputation in West Virginia. So he approaches his work in Washington very much from that perspective. And those comments we just heard reflect that long-standing attitude he's had about being a West Virginian in Washington.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dan is with us in De Pere. Dan, hi.
Yeah, I'm just, the Democrats had better tread lightly here because it would be very easy for him to flip parties. He's from a very red state, and he would definitely win as a Republican senator there. So that's one observation. I also think he had two objections about the earned income tax credit. One was the income level of $200,000. He thought that was ridiculous that we're giving that kind of money to that kind of income. And also he wanted a work requirement that you really can't have an earned income tax credit if you don't have any earned income. So it's not supposed to be a welfare payment. I kind of agree with both of those assessments.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Let's get into that substantive part of the debate here. Stephen, the child tax credits, those additional ones we've seen in recent COVID relief packages, temporary, they would have been extended under this. Can you talk about the impact they've had and the concerns that our caller raised?
Well, the Democrats have favored the extension and expansion of the child tax credit by about $3,600. And of course, that's set to expire here very soon. So actually, if they fail to pass this bill or something to replace it, people are going to actually see a tax hike if they've been benefiting from the child tax credit with monthly payments of $300. The Democrats have argued that this has radically cut down on the number of children who are living below the poverty level, and they insist that it should be continued. It's one of many elements of the Build Back Better program that Senator Manchin has objected to. And in almost all of these cases, and I think in this case too, there's probably room for negotiation. And I think those negotiations were underway. So for example, you could cap the maximum income. You could reduce the amount of the credit. You can target it to families of a certain size. There are a number of ways of meeting some of Manchin's concerns. And this is just one of probably about a dozen issues that he's raised over the last month that I think most Democrats thought were capable of being compromised. But apparently something happened between the senator and the White House staff that blew this up. And I have a feeling that it wasn't over the substance of the policy, that it might have been how he was being treated by the White House staff. So I think if, you know, the president's now spoken to Senator Manchin, I'm sure his leadership on Capitol in the Senate has too. And I think they can probably get this back on track.
And we've heard some talk of Senator Mitt Romney, Republican, of course, having his own spin on a different way to approach this kind of child tax credit. It would look pretty different than what was in Build Back Better, I understand. Do you think there's a prospect for a bipartisan plan that would do something in the ballpark?
Well, you know, there's really two legislative paths that can be taken here. The Democrats have taken the path of using a process called reconciliation, mm-hmm. which allows them to get the bill through the Senate with a simple majority. All they need is 50 votes. There'll be 50 Republican votes against, but then the vice president would cast the tie-breaking vote in the favor of the Democrats. What Romney and other Republicans are saying is that they could take up standalone legislation. The problem for the Democrats is that standalone legislation would be subject to a filibuster, and then you'd need 60 votes or a 3/5 majority. And most Democrats don't think there will be enough Republicans for standalone legislation for that path to work. So they're sticking with reconciliation for the time being. Even Senator Manchin has complained a little bit about doing it all in one package through reconciliation. But very few of his Democratic colleagues think that much of this package would pass with almost uniform Republican opposition and the likelihood of a filibuster that cannot be overcome on those separate packages.
We're talking about the Build Back Better plan and what happens now that Senator Joe Manchin says, at least for now, he is not going to support the bill. Stephen Smith is with us from Washington University in St. Louis. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on some of the specific policy items in here? Investments in alternative energy, anti-climate change efforts, parental leave funding, pre-K funding. Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the future of the Build Back Better plan or whether it has a future. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia over the weekend said he won't support it, raising concerns about price tags as well as the bill's climate and social spending measures. Without his vote, Senate Democrats don't have the support to pass it, as all 50 Republicans have indicated they'd vote against it. Stephen Smith is with us from Washington University in St. Louis. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I want to listen to some of the response from a fellow Democrat here on the House side, Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez on MSNBC yesterday, criticizing Manchin and the leaders of her party as well.
We have every right to be furious with Joe Manchin, but it's really up to leadership in the Democratic Party who, you know, made the decision to get us to this juncture and how we're going to move forward. And I think right now that Democratic leadership has a very large number of tools at their disposal, the president particularly, and it's really about time that, you know, we take the kid gloves off and we start using them to govern for working families in this country.
What kind of options would President Biden have to enact any of these measures without something from Congress, Steve?
Not many. Mm-hmm. She's venting some steam here, I think. These are some fundamental changes in federal policy, ranging from a range of family-oriented social policies to climate change. And the president is simply unable to do many of those things unilaterally. There are some things in environmental regulation he can do through the administration, but most of what they're proposing here requires new federal law. And so there really isn't much he can do directly. What she was really doing is calling for the president to flexing the muscles of the White House a little bit more. But even there, I think it's hoping for too much. A president is not king. And there is no way that President Biden can force Joe Manchin to vote one way or another on this plan. The other thing to keep in mind is that there really is no Senate plan yet. That's been under negotiation all of this time. So we haven't seen a final plan. In fact, even this week, they've been discussing with the Senate parliamentarian what's allowed or what's not allowed under reconciliation, because it's a budget-related bill and some kinds of policy changes cannot be pursued in reconciliation. So this is still all up for grabs. In fact, the surprise isn't that Biden hasn't succeeded yet. The surprise is that Manchin has decided to make such a public statement on Sunday, issue a long written statement that seemed to close off the possibility of further negotiations. That's the big surprise. And what most Democrats are disappointed about in Manchin is his unpredictability, the fact that he's always coming up with a new problem and sometimes saying he's not likely to support something, then the next thing saying, well, everything is negotiable, and so on. And that's their big frustration with Manchin. Of course, they're also frustrated with their own leadership. Many liberals or progressives in the House and Senate did not want the House to pass the physical infrastructure bill until Manchin and enough Senate Democrats had signed off onto this social infrastructure bill. Well, they backed down on that and allowed the physical infrastructure bill to go through. And now they're saying to their leadership, you talked us into letting that one go through, and to Joe Biden. Into letting that one go through. And now it looks like your hope that the social structure bill would quickly is not going to happen. So there's a lot of frustration there. And I think some of that will be aired tonight in the meeting, online meeting that Senate Democrats will be holding.
Go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I actually agree with AOC, but instead of muscling the Senate to pass this legislation, I think the Democrats need to think creatively, and I have three suggestions. They could do celebrity endorsements. They could take blue senators and go around to the states and say how this bill will benefit the state. And they could also come up with like a gang of four or five senators, bipartisan, and they could hammer this thing out. I mean, if the American people don't support it, then I don't think it's going to pass.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Do you think Democrats, Steve, who support Build Back Better, need to do a better job of selling it to the public, and that could trickle up, I guess, to Congress?
Yes. But I'd say two things in response. One is most polls actually show that the bill is popular. Sometimes the majorities are quite large in those polls. So I don't think it's been the numbers per se. The real problem are the numbers in the Senate. It's a 50-50 Senate, and you need every Democrat, including Manchin, including Kyrsten Sinema. So getting a gang of four, including some Republicans together, it just won't work. The Republicans, under the direction of Mitch McConnell, have chosen not to participate in any discussions of a reconciliation bill used for this general purpose. So that is simply not going to happen. Now, could they do a better job of selling it? That lands mainly in the lap of the White House. And a case can be made that the president has been spread a little thin. This fall, he's made news by an international trip. Obviously, he's struggling with the pandemic. The issue of voting rights is still pending and will be subject to discussion among Senate Democrats this evening. Maybe the problem is the absence of focus on this one issue as a consistent matter over the last few months. How do you set priorities when you've got things like voting rights on the table as well? It's been a real challenge, and I think most members of Congress would quietly say the White House hasn't done quite the job in public relations that it should have.
Talking to Steve Smith from Washington University, looking at the Build Back Better Act and whether it has a future. Back to your calls now. Ivy is with us in Evansville. Ivy, hi.
Hi. I can't help but wonder how much Joe Manchin's interest in coal influences his attitude towards the Build Back Better plan, and that he keeps finding every reason to not go along with it, I think, ultimately because of clean energy. And he, you know, if he did come out and say, I'm opposed to clean energy, everybody'd say, well, that's a conflict of interest. And I've also heard his daughter has an interest in Big Pharma. So I keep, you know, the longer he waits, the more he could die. And that would be great for his bottom line and those lobbyists.
So, Ivy, thanks for the call. A twist on that, Steve, just since he made this announcement, the United Mine Workers, the union that represents West Virginia coal miners, said, hey, Senator Manchin, can you rethink this? There's stuff in here that we like. So can you talk about coal, of workers and investments, and how that plays into these decisions?
Well, yeah, and of course, Ivy was also talking about the senator's personal investments in the coal industry. And I'm no expert on that, but he clearly has them. And one would hope that they're not greatly affecting his approach to this issue. But clearly, West Virginia has a coal industry interest. And within West Virginia, of course, management interests are not identical to union interests. So there's a diversity of issues here, but it's clear as day that as long as Senator Manchin's been in the Senate, he has not been too keen on clean energy alternatives that would ultimately challenge the preeminence of coal in the production of electricity and in other areas, and so he's continues to resist federal policies that would make other sources of energy cheaper or put some direct penalty like a carbon tax on coal. So there's not much new here. Now, what's a little surprising is that the other Democrats haven't gone farther to try to compensate West Virginia and maybe other states for the economic consequences of these pro-climate changes in public policy that they're proposing. That's the kind of thing that, of course, presumably could be negotiated. And so far, we've only heard the negative side of Senator Manchin's position on that issue. What is crystal clear is that climate change is one of the issues which Democrats think sells very well with moderates and suburban Americans, they don't want to give up on that class of issues in this reconciliation bill. So there's a pretty fundamental difference between Manchin and other Democrats about the agenda for this bill in the area of climate.
In just our last half minute or so, Steve, what are you watching for next on this roller coaster?
Well, one of the challenges for the Senate Democrats is that Manchin always feels compelled to make a comment. And when he does, he brings up yet another issue. I think what we should be looking for is a sign that he's serious about negotiating with the White House. And that means that I think he'll be quiet for a while. These discussions have to be private in order for the president and for Manchin to make much progress.
We'll leave it there. Steve, as always, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Rob.
Stephen Smith is a distinguished professor of social sciences and professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. We talked to them about Senator Manchin's opposition, at least for now, to President Biden's Build Back Better plan, what it means for Democrats' social and climate priorities.